little bit about that also. All right. So, yeah. So, okay.
What I was thinking was was that you could have this paper could have some discussion on the fact that the requirements are not static early on, and also the need for provisioning for the peak workload and the peak capacity requirements.
Okay.
Right, peak IOPS and peak capacity requirement. And then you sort of naturally answer that question, which you know, someone might have, and you say, well, why do you have more storage than you need, right?
Mm-hmm.
And okay, yeah, you bought more storage, and then, well, you're able to save a certain amount of money because you're able to consolidate. Well, you could have avoided the problem in the first place if you had bought the right amount.
Provision.
Yeah, if you had provisioned more accurately.
That's right.
And I think you can avoid that kind of a comment. Although I didn't see any of the reviewers bringing that up, but...
Well, yeah, but now that you mention it, I remember, you know, Dariska mentioned it also at Hot Storage.
Mm-hmm.
That fact.
Yeah.
That it's, sometimes it's a lot better to provision, to invest more provisioning, I mean...
Planning
than to just use later techniques to sort out the problem.
In fact, this this also reminds me of the discussion we had at Almaden
mm-hmm.
about this James Hamilton message, right? Where he's basically saying, well, you already spent all that money.
Mm-hmm.
You should find uses for those resources rather than to try and consolidate or rather than to try and save power, I guess, that was the message that he's going after.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of an argument that's very sort of so disruptive because there will be some environments where you can actually find stuff to do for all the spare capacity and IOPS you have in your system, but then there will be other environments where that would not be the case necessarily. Right. So here we are talking about the second kind of environment where you have to provision for peak requirements, but then on an average, your requirements are maybe an order of magnitude lower.
Sure.
Right. And in that case, it makes more sense to save energy.
Yeah.
So the goal of this paper is purely energy efficiency, right?
Well, yeah, that's something that's questionable right now, right? So
without degradation in performance.
Yes. Actually, so, I mean, from my point of view, the goal will be to how do we better utilize a multi-tier system?
Mm-hmm.
And possibly that means improving IOPS, improving power. I mean, there are multiple axes on which you can improve, right?
Yeah.
Given that you have different types of drives. Right, so yeah, that would be the main message from my point of view of the paper.
Yeah.
And that's probably something that we're pushing towards on this new on the new versions that we've been talking about.
The idea of using tiering,
mm-hmm.
Using tiering architecture,
yeah,
efficiency.
Using tiering and consolidation.
Tiering and consolidation in an efficient manner.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what this paper is also doing, right?
Yes. So, but that paper is a little bit more limited. So, I mean, there we sort of do that, but the way we do, so we talk about three modes, right? So we have, okay, so here.
Hmm.
Right. So we talk about using OSAS, performance, and tact. Right. So performance, it's just a greedy approach.
Hmm.
But it's right now it's very naive. Right. So it's basically seeing okay which sorting the events by IOPS and assigning them in that order to the next available disk. But you can do stuff that's more efficient, let's say load balancing and stuff like that, and it will be a lot better performing. It will perform a lot better, and the power cost would be about the same. So yeah, that's something that we wanna show on this other approach, on this newer version, that you're not limited to just saving power when you have these extra tiers. You can configure your system to do much more. Right, that's the way I see it. So let's say you can say, okay, for the let's say the work hours, I wanna provision my system to optimize for performance.
Mm.
And then in the nighttime, no one's working or very few people are working, let me just optimize for power.
Mm.
Right, possibly and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and the performance hit that you will get by doing that is assumed to be sort of bounded.
Exactly.
So there is a bounded performance there.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing which I was thinking of is about the whole idea of dynamic extents, not dynamically moving extents around.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to compare against a vanilla solution which doesn't do any of the what you're proposing in the paper, what you would probably have is some SSDs, SAS and SATA, and you would map volumes.
Complete volumes
to a specific type.
Mm-hmm.
of storage.
Okay.
Right. But within a given volume, some parts of the volume may be, let's say, have different characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
By having a finer grain, you also have the ability to potentially deliver better performance.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Because there might be some volumes that have a low average IOPS,
mm-hmm.
but then certain extents within the volume, if you just look at the extent, it has very high IOPS or something like that. I mean,
yeah.
And you have the ability to, let's say, migrate those few extents to an SSD tier as opposed to having to place everything in a SATA tier or a SAS tier. I don't know if you look at that comparison.
So that's something that we have thought about, but we haven't done it yet. But that's definitely something we actually want to do. So so compare against something like Bazel, right? So Bazel does load balancing in terms of volumes, right? We want to do something more. We want to go further than that and divide it into smaller pieces, extents, equally sized extents.
Right.
And see how we do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's something that we definitely have to evaluate. What would be so one of the things that we
right now, what are these configurations? One is an all SAS. You don't have configuration where you could be doing that comparison. You don't have like dedicated mapping configuration, like of volumes to.
Yeah, we can do it.
You can do
that. We can do that. Easily.
So one thing which I was thinking about is to just look at a per volume granularity and do a placement of volumes the same way you do with extents right now, right? And then compare, let's say, in some way performance and power.
But you're saying static.
Statically.
Static, okay. Yeah. So what we had planned for that is that I formulated this problem as an ILP, and using an ILP solver, we would come up with an optimal configuration, beginning configuration. So we would, apart from this tree, we would also have this, let's say, static initial optimal configuration.
But that is at the granularity of extent?
Of volume.
Okay, then that would be the comparison that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And that would allow you to showcase the performance improvement aspect of DTAC. Right, because you have the ability to get better performance by moving extents to where they should be, as opposed to being restricted by where the volume is.
Yeah, that's something that we had discussed some time ago, but we never did it.
Because that would be what people would do right now.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, that would be the vanilla. Okay.
The performance, all SAS, those kinds of things, I guess. Performance, what does performance configuration do?
It's like I said, it's a naive way to achieve better performance by just placing each extent on the best available.
It is at the extent granularity.
Yes.
It's at the extent granularity. So I guess we would look for maybe something like performance, but at the volume granularity for that comparison.
It would be something like performance, but at the volume granularity.
Yeah.
Well, but performance is also dynamic.
Performance is dynamic.
Yes.
Yeah, but here I guess
it would be static. We could start with arbitrary configuration.
Hmm. Right. Okay. So there are a couple of other comments that I had. One is there was some reviewer which pointed out, well, extents don't have IOPS characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a good idea to actually investigate that and show that at extents at certain granularities have stable or at least medium-term stable IOPS characteristics, which can be used for prediction. Hello? Yep. I'll call you back. Bye. So that would answer some of those questions, which is, I mean,
yeah, that's gonna be,
and that might also tell you what extents actually make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a difficult analysis to do because you have to crunch a lot of data. Might be something worth doing.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of scripts to analyze the data already.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bindu has been mostly working on that part.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have mostly, so I think we can analyze this to arbitrary extent sizes in arbitrary intervals. Yeah. So I think that would be very useful.
Just for you
to see if you see a trend, right?
That yeah, would be if you see trend. Trends and at what extent sizes do you actually see meaningful trends?
Yeah, and actually that could later lead to better configuration options in the evaluation.
Mm-hmm. So that was one comment. The other comment was also I think it was brought up by a reviewer again, which was measuring the overhead of the data movement and how much it impacts performance. Remember we had, you know, with Borg we had this reconfiguration intervals where performance of our foreground workload will suffer actually. So,
that is something that we actually do measure, but it's not that clear, right? Okay, so here the plus FM means free migrations. That means that there's no migration IO, and the DTAC regular is doing the actual IOs for the migrations, right? So if you look at it here,
hard to see.
There's basically no difference, and if you look at it here in terms of power, you use somewhat more power, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is with the lower line is free migrations, and this other line is actually doing the migration. Right, but in most cases, you have a little. Well, here you do have some overhead. Well, but with this one, it's currently much better. We pick some bugs and now we're able to for smaller extent sizes we're able to be on here above the ALSA configuration.
I see.
Same in this one.
The other thing which I was thinking about is that, I mean, right now you consider extents to be like indivisible unit.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I was thinking of is that you have your SATA tier which has the potential to store all your data.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a SAS tier which can store a subset of your data.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a SSD tier which can store a subset of that subset of data. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can think of this also as a caching architecture,
mm-hmm.
whereby you have all data in the SSD tier is available in the SAS tier, And all data in the SaaS tier is available in the SATA tier. Because you can afford to do that.
Okay.
You have
so,
the capacity to be able to do that. The replacement is always going to be in the tier that's higher up in the hierarchy. So, for instance, you might be replacing something from the SaaS tier into the SATA tier, or something from the SSD tier into the SaaS tier, right? So the moving is sort of going up rather than going down. So you could perhaps completely avoid one direction of movement. And that data can just be synchronization of extents rather than moving of extents, entire extents. Because you have a copy, you have like an original copy, which of course has some stale blocks because the extent perhaps got modified in some parts. And then all you need to do is to, when you throw something out of the SSD tier, you just need to synchronize the differences with the SAS tier or something like that. So, you know, having a sort of hybrid tiering and caching view might help optimize some of these overheads, rather than simply moving everything blindly, right? Because that's really what you want to do in the end, right? You want to...
Yeah, in the end,
You're not looking at it as a caching architecture, but that's what it effectively is, right?
So I think we hinted at that here at some point. The future work.
So when I was reading the paper, it was not explicitly stated that, well, SSD is going to be the smallest tier, then SAS will be a little bigger than that, and SATA will be the biggest one. I didn't see that explicitly mentioned, although
that's
understood in some sense. But if you make it explicit and make the discussion of the caching view, then some people who may bring up arguments, well, what about the caching architecture, right? And do you compare with these other architectures? Those comments can potentially be avoided.
Yeah, so
and also, perhaps, you have a better design.
Yeah, but it makes sense, right? I mean, if you're moving some unit, it's better just later, just create copies.
It comes with an overhead, of course. It
comes with an overhead, yeah.
Because now you have to maintain mapping at finer granularity.
Yeah.
Actually, dirtiness information at finer granularity.
Well, and also the fact that, so we're assuming that the data will always be available, right? So we don't spin up disk where there's data. So if you do that, potentially, you will have more drives turned on your SATA tier. Or, yeah, on your lower tiers.
What do you mean?
Because... we're assuming that data it's always available on a spinning disk or a disk that is currently active.
Mm-hmm.
That we're not gonna spin up something and later when we have an IO just spin it up again, right?
Sure.
So in that sense, we will require more lower tier drives to have the data. Right.
I see.
Because consolidation will become more complicated if we're not discarding data.
I guess the question is, how much do you save? If, let's say, the SAS tier is an order of magnitude smaller than the SATA tier, and the SSD tier is an order of magnitude smaller than the SAS tier, then you would save at most 1% or 10% at each tier. Or you would lose at most 10% by storing all that additional data.
I don't follow. No problem.
What I meant to say is that if your SSD tier capacity is, let's say, 100 gigabytes,
mm-hmm.
and then your SAS tier capacity is 1 terabyte.
Mm-hmm.
By not having those 100 gigabytes available in the SAS tier, you save 10% perhaps of power. And that is assuming that all those extents that are not in the that are not in the SSD tier are sort of bunched together in a subset of the SAS drives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the caching view there are other problems with the caching view as well, which is one, you need to maintain dirtiness information. That dirtiness information is hard because if you do not have a way to intercept those IO requests, you cannot know whether an extent or which parts of the extent are dirty.
Yeah. And like, you need a lot more metadata also.
You need more metadata, but I think even from a feasibility standpoint, I guess you need to have some layer which does the indirection, right?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you cannot move extents around in the first place.
Exactly.
So you're assuming an indirection layer. So I guess keeping dirtiness information is not...
It's not a problem.
It's not a problem. The metadata might be a problem. But, I mean, the amount of metadata that you will create is proportional to the amount of dirty information you have. It's not like you have to have metadata per block, right?
Well, probably what you would end up doing is subdividing an extent into smaller units, so you will not have per block like you said, but you have, let's say, 64K chunks.
Yeah. And this dynamic movement of extents achieves two things, right? One is that if you know, extent migrates to the best power performance tier for its characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is that you consolidate within a single tier.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you could do that and achieve, you know, and if you're doing consolidation within a single tier, you can do that and have the caching view as well. I mean, I started thinking about this when I read the review on, which said, okay, what about the caching configurations?
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, this is actually caching if you look at it in a different way. It's sort of doing something similar. You're using the SSD tier to cache extents which are more, you know, more suitable for the SSD, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're moving it back out when it's no longer suitable.
In some sense, the thing is that it's an exclusive cache, right?
Well, it is an exclusive cache, but you could also think of it as a regular cache because, I mean, if you think of disk and memory, I bring a page from disk into memory.
I modify it.
It becomes exclusive.
It becomes exclusive, yeah.
Right? And then you throw it back in, it synchronizes with that tier.
Yes, so here the probabilities of you modifying the content are usually high. Right?
But if you look at sub-extent granularity...
If you look at sub-extent...
Then maybe not.
Maybe not, that's true. Yeah, that could be... Yeah, that could be something that we look at. Yes, I mean, not making copies. Yeah, I mean, my only concern is that, like I said, probably consolidation will become a little bit more complicated if we keep the other copy.
But consolidation remains the same, right? Because you do migration and then consolidation. Once you do the migration, everything is synchronized and then you consolidate. Maybe you can combine these two operations into one. Well, migration between tiers and then consolidate.
You would have to consolidate within a tier.
Which you are doing anyway.
Right? We are doing anyways, but... Probably it's okay.
I mean, it certainly complicates the design, but it sort of gives a different view to the architecture also. And saying that, well, this is not orthogonal to the caching architecture. In fact, we are trying to merge the best of both. Or at least trying to merge these two. Maybe not the best of both, but we are trying to, or we
yeah.
it's a merge of these two architectures.
Yeah. So I remember that. Probably, I'm not sure if it's this last version. It's still here. So it's probably in the migration science thing. We talk about it. I think it's the last version. Yeah. So this, yeah, in this last version, and we mentioned we referenced to SRC, the SRC map paper.
I see. Yeah.
Right. So it would be something similar to that.
I guess if spare capacity exists in the whole tier, that's an interesting requirement. Yeah. So if you move something from the SAS tier into the SSD tier, and you consider that as free, you can actually now have the ability to move something from the SATA tier into the SAS tier, right? So if you did that, then you cannot have the kind of caching view that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the point that I was mentioning.
But at least for the SATA tier, you have everything, right? Or even that.
Well, but
not necessary.
Maybe not on the. I mean, you will have it on the tier, but not on the same volume, physical volume.
The question is how much extra cost does this non-exclusive architecture induce? I guess that's the question.
That would be the question.
So it is sort of different than a caching architecture because the fact that you don't necessarily have a home location for any extent, even in the SATA tier. Which forces you to sort of move more data.
Yeah.
So it might be a good back of the envelope calculation to do to see, well, what percentage of SATA cost is SAS cost per byte, and what percentage of SAS cost is SSD cost per byte.
Yeah, so
and if that's a really small number, then an exclusive cache makes more sense.
So you're saying capital cost, acquisition
yeah, the acquisition cost.
Yeah, so we do have those numbers. So So, SAS, it's about three times the cost of
SATA.
Sorry, it's about six times.
Six times.
Yeah, because it's three times half the capacity.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's six times the cost per gigabyte.
Mm.
And SSD is enterprise SSD. It's about 6 to 7 times the cost per gigabyte of SAS.
Mm-hmm. So which means that your CapEx will increase by a factor of 15% if you want to go with an exclusive caching architecture.
Yes. Yeah. It would be a small number.
Sorry, inclusive caching architecture.
Inclusive, yeah. Or you wait, exactly.
Because you'll have to provision for the inclusiveness also.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get in return for that is reduced overhead for extent migration. Yeah, there might be something evaluating perhaps.
Yeah, that might be something that you can see. So,
but that probably needs a lot more work, right?
Yeah, that's what we're
thinking. Change in an implementation, final granularity mapping, and all of that.
But let me write it down anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sort of goes more in along the lines of SRC map and other caching architectures. But it's also different because we are not claiming that, well, we are, some of my data is not immediately available, right?
Yeah.
Which is typical of the other caching-based power-saving techniques. So that's why it's sort of a combination of both architectures.
So what do you think about the way we tackle throttling?
By looking at queue depth?
No, well, we look at response time.
Oh, you look at response
time. Yeah. So basically...
I think Basil also does something similar, right?
I don't remember. I know that Everest does it. They do look at queue depth.
No, I'm saying Basil does response time based.
Oh, yeah. Basil does response time based also.
Mm. So that might be one thing to refer to.
So basically, what we do is that if we detect that a device has higher average response time than some threshold, then we classify it as throttle. And if it's throttle, then we do a load balancing, right? So within the same tier, we allocate another volume, physical volume. And do a round robin on the first n extent, the top, let's say, top n extent.
Around, you mean move all extents?
No, we don't move. So let's say you have one SATA array that is the weird vector array, and it has 200 extents, but only 10 of those extents are actually contributing to the bottleneck.
Mm. You
right, so
IOPS. You need to look at IOPS.
Exactly. So we look at the IOPS of the extent, and we say, okay, for this 10 extents, we're gonna take half of them and move them to other devices. And the way we do that half is just, so we put one here, we put one here, put one here, put one here, and
I guess you want to do that only if the capacity of these two are the same. Right, in terms of IOPS.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, within the same tier.
No, what I mean is that, so you have an IOPS capacity, let's say, instead of talking about arrays, let's just talk about single SAS drives and single SATA drives.
Mm-hmm.
So in my SAS tier, I have 10 SATA drives, of which currently only 6 are being used.
Mm-hmm.
Or 6 are serving extents. The others don't have any extents.
Okay.
Right. And then I see detect throttling because of fewer available drives in the SAS tier. I provision the seventh SATA or SAS? Let's go with SAS.
Yeah, whatever.
The seventh SAS drive, and now I need to move some extents to the seventh SAS drive so I can utilize the capacity of the seventh SAS drive. Is that what you're trying to get to?
Something similar, but yes, we take the throttling not per tier, but per actual volume, physical volume.
You detect throttling in upper tier.
No, we detect throttling we monitor each array individually.
Each disk.
Each disk.
Okay.
And see if it's throttled or not. If it's throttled, then we allocate the additional.
Oh, I see. So you're looking at throttling at a per disk granularity.
Exactly.
So let's say my third disk is the one that's being throttled. I have a seventh disk and I redistribute load across these two. Yeah. Certainly you could do that. Or you could also distribute it across the other but those are completely utilized when you're sort of packing extents into the first six disks.
Yeah.
So the first six disks do not have any additional capacity.
Yeah. Actually, that could be something that we can look at. I mean.
Or you could just move data around, because this way you can use more bandwidth when doing the migrations. You have six disks to do the migrations than two disks.
Yeah, but the idea is to move, a smaller amount. Not, let's say, move half of the content. Just move the amount that's critical to the performance of that particular.
I mean, what you're doing is very reasonable, I think. I mean, it's not. I don't think anyone would have a problem with what you're doing there. You can certainly think of other alternatives, but I don't think it's that important.
Okay.
Conservative and aggressive recovery. So what you're talking about was the conservative recovery.
Yes.
The aggressive recovery is
to switch more to the other mode.
Yeah. All the extents in the throttled array are sorted using their IO requirements and are placed in a greedy fashion on arrays sorted by their availability.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess, what I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
So you have both discussions in there. You don't need to do anything. Except that you perhaps don't evaluate with the aggressive.
Yeah, so that's...
But
that's,
I think this is not as critical an improvement, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because even if you do conservative, it's reasonable, right?
So the thing is that if we don't do this, we did see that sometimes performance does get really hurt.
Makes sense, yeah. Did anyone point out why you're not doing a different kind of throttling recovery?
No.
I don't think so. I think what you have is already reasonable.
Okay. So mainly what we've been working on lately has been currently I'm looking into the throttling to see if it's working as it should.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is, but we have some mixed results there, and we want to look into the provisioning aspect. I think that's very, very important, and it's something that some people have brought up. You also mentioned it, and probably that's what we're going to talk about mostly tomorrow.
Mm.
In terms of the implementation, right now that version was somewhat buggy,
mm.
and we couldn't run experiments more than 4 hours in most cases.
Mm.
Right now we can run
as long as I the other thing which I had in mind was, well, why are you comparing against an all SaaS configuration? Maybe that's the that's an industry standard, but I mean I'm just guessing at this point. Maybe you can have some more discussion on why all SaaS configuration is one of a reasonable alternative configuration to compare with. So do you know why all SaaS?
Yeah, so it's like you said, it's an industry standard.
Mm-hmm.
So people have the biggest amount of their data in
mm-hmm.
SaaS or fiber channel, it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
We need one more chair, I guess.
Yeah.
Let me go find one.
Look at the iPad.
No, not here. I didn't want to do